We definitely have an increased demand in electric roasters. There are certainly shop roasters that are performing today carbon neutral and roasting and advertising that.
And what we can do today is we can predict a roast 2 minutes, so 120 seconds into the future.
If you want to see roasting as a science, I would say a very, very, very useful and very important equipment for any roaster is a color reading device.
Efficiency, economy, and equity, like how can we most efficiently process this through the space in the most economical manner where it's most equitable for everybody's who's touching this process.
Welcome back to the Fifth Wave podcast. I'm Jeffrey Young, editor-in-chief of Fifth Wave. Today, we continue our series on the business of roasting, focusing in on the essential infrastructure required for a successful coffee roastery. Later in the episode, we'll speak with two highly successful roasters, Counterculture Coffee and Solberg & Hansen, to find out how they design a roastery and manage operations for efficiency. We'll also be speaking with Andreas Idle, CEO of software company Cropster, to understand how technology and AI can be used to improve consistency and quality. To get a global overview of the roasting equipment market, we start with Scott Stoffer, Chief Sales Officer at Probat. Founded 160 years ago in Germany, Probat is a leading roasting machine manufacturer with offices in Europe, North and South America, and Asia. Today, the company produces a wide range of commercial roasters, ranging in size from 1 kilogram all the way up to a whopping 150 kilos. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
What's the scale of the roasting equipment market like today? Any segment that's growing fastest?
The machines that are by far the most popular for us are the 12 kilo, we call it the Probatoner, the P12, and the UG22 in the Retro series. 22 kilos per cycle, and those cycles, or 12 kilos per cycle for the P12, and those machines, somebody that's got a new business, they might say, oh, okay, I have 3 stores, I have 5 stores, or I'm distributed in 2 bakeries down the road in a restaurant. I can work with a 12 kilo machine. And then once they're in a couple of grocery stores, a couple of supermarkets and wherever, then they're moving up to a 60 kilo machine because they know their business. They're running their 12 kilo machine 6 days a week, 12 or 16 hours a day. And they think, yeah, I need a bigger machine.
And what types of customization might happen that customers, I mean, you know, obviously you've got a base machine. Tell us about some of the other products that come hand in hand with your equipment and what types of customizations are sometimes required.
As the sales guy, I'll tell you we can do anything. Now, my engineering staff hates it when I say that. We do in the 12, 25, 60 kilo range, we have as standard options feeding systems so that you can automatically lift the green coffee up to the charge hopper. You can imagine if you had a 22 kilo roaster, if you had to lift a bucket with 22 kilos over your head and dump it into the charge hopper, that's a repetitive injury waiting to occur. Yeah. So we do feeding systems. We do destoners. So when the coffee comes out of the cooling tray, it can be air lifted up to a hopper. And you can remove any stones. You know, stones are pretty prevalent in green coffee, so that's a good quality feature to have. We, of course, can do scales going in and going out. We do extra thermocouples if you want to use, a cloud-based recording and control system like a Cropster or an Artisan, so we can do those types of features. Something that shop roasters are increasingly more and more interested in is we have quite the variety of pollution control equipment that is oftentimes, you know, in a place like London or in most urban areas around the planet, you have to control your smoke and your odor. And increasingly, you know, air quality management districts are actually looking at what comes out of your roasting stack. So you have to control what comes out of your roasting stack. And we do just straight afterburners that heat the effluent up to the temperature where it can be oxidized and become odor-free and smoke-free. And we do catalyzers of different types. And we do filtration systems. We have quite a variety of things that can be applied depending upon your need.
Are you seeing more demand for electric and hydrogen solutions rather than the natural gas?
Yes. So we definitely have an increased demand in electric roasters. There are certainly shop roasters that are performing today carbon neutral and roasting and advertising that. I spent the first 14 years of my ProBot career in the U.S. And I know the first electric roaster we sold in the U.S. went, of course, into California, but it went to a company that had a small windmill on their property, and they were happy to roast coffee with windmill-generated electricity.
Yeah.
And we see that, you know, increasingly, I mean, not just in the U.S., but certainly it's here in Europe, it's in Australia, it's all over. Hydrogen is a little more challenging because the infrastructure is not there. But we have development projects, customers that we're in discussion with in Northern Europe, in Japan, in China, all these places where the infrastructure for hydrogen is coming. And we have built roasters as large as 120 kilos with hydrogen burners. So we're prepared to say we're hydrogen ready. When you when you have the challenge, we will have the hydrogen roaster for you.
So trend to electric, no doubt. What are some of the other trends that you're seeing in the market for coffee roasting equipment?
So we build coffee roasters for whatever our customers' requirements are. We certainly still build very manual artisan coffee roasters. You want to push buttons to make the temperature go up and down, or you want to turn a dial. We do that. We do a lot of that. But we do see increasing demand for automation, profile roasting control, recording of that profile and replicating that profile, translating those profiles from one machine to the next machine. Prior to my employment with ProBot, I was a ProBot customer. And I used to say to the people that were in our operations team, hey, if it was just Brad or Susan roasting coffee, that's great, because Brad and Susan are awesome. But we hire new people all the time, and those new people have to roast repeatedly the same way all the time. And so I think we see a lot of that, even among companies that have like 60 kilo machines. They realize, wow, I might have to roast on third shift, and who am I going to hire to roast? And I have to have an automated system.
Any other processes within the roasting period that are increasingly automated?
You know, amazingly, it varies by place. So we do roasting plants from specialty, as we're talking about here, all the way up through some of the big guys. If I'm in China, for example, they are all about coffee quality, but usually through online color sorting. So online color sorting is a big thing in China among the coffee companies that are roasting there. Not a big thing other places on the planet. You see, the automation that I was talking about before, that's definitely more of a European and North American centric thing. That's still not really a thing in South America or over in Asia. There's not the drive to automation in those places.
So what are the trends that you're seeing specifically in the specialty side? What are specialty roasters looking for?
We talk a lot about pollution control, and we talk a lot about energy type. I will be at SCA, the SCA Expo that will occur in Chicago, and then I'll be at the World of Coffee that's in Copenhagen. And I would say 7 out of the 10 conversations that I have at that are going to be questions about, how does this run on electric? Can I taste anything different if I have an electric coffee roaster? What does that do to the emissions that come out of my roaster. So they're asking, there's a lot of questions about what do these alternative energy sources do to the way coffee is roasted. You have to know your customer. And I think the specialty coffee customers that are out there, if there are already people that are looking for single origin varietal, they're looking for a higher quality thing. These are people that are also saying things like, how was that coffee produced? So the specialty coffee people that are asking these questions are specialty coffee people that know who their customers are, and they're doing what their customers are demanding.
Yeah, it all ties into a very, very consistent story here. Now, when you know, someone acquires all the equipment that they need, it's all in place, it's all working, and what kinds of preventive maintenance or ongoing maintenance do typically coffee roasting equipment require?
Cleaning, cleaning, cleaning.
Okay.
You put 10 kilos of green coffee into the roaster, you get 8 kilos of roasted coffee out. The green coffee that went in, we'll pretend it was 10% moisture content. That water's gone. That water was evaporated. The other 10% was organic mass. So you lost, in that 12-minute roast cycle, you lost 1 kilo of organic mass. And if you roast 1,000 kilos of coffee, you're going to get 100 kilos of smoke that comes off, and it will coat and plate the inside of your ductwork, your fan, your cyclone, the stack that goes out your roof. So every specialty coffee roaster that's roasted for say more than a year has run themselves into a fire in their ductwork or their fan or their cyclone. It's this condensed material that builds up that started on fire. So the number one thing you can do to maintain your roaster and keep it running a long time is have a good cleaning cycle.
I just want to ask you one last question. What do you think we're going to see in the future from coffee roasting equipment? Any innovations or new technologies that you're excited about? Will AI play a role? What do you think we're going to see in the future?
The answer to AI is yes. We have some AI products in development. I am super excited that we're going to roll out an AI product at the SCA Expo in Chicago. In April. This is an AI technology, cloud-based AI technology for coffee quality. Having said that, there is so much power that's coming through technology and through computing. I mentioned before about profile roasting controls. We have systems that will allow you to track productivity and quality and schedule compliance and energy consumption from apps on your phone. And you can compare and contrast, for example, one facility to another facility. We do computing systems that make tracking and tracing so you can have this is mostly for larger customers, but you can have a pallet of coffee sitting in a warehouse, and you can use a barcode scanner and scan it, and I can tell you what lots of green coffee went through what roaster on what day, through what blender, through what grinder, through which packaging machine, and when it was packaged. They're amazingly smart systems. So you asked what's coming. Yes, we're doing all the things with alternative energy. Yes, we're doing things to reduce energy consumption. Yes, we're doing things to improve quality control. We're doing things on this computer control and manipulation of data that is just blows my mind.
Well, Scott, thanks so much for joining us here today on Fifth Wave.
Thank you for having me.
It was fascinating to hear the growing demand for electric roasters in the specialty coffee market and the opportunities for automation and customization in this sector. Scott offered so much wisdom and advice on the roasting market that it was impossible to fit all this into one short segment. So we'll be running his interview in full next week. It's an essential piece of listening for any roaster, so keep your ears out for that one. Continuing the theme of how technology can improve roasting performance, now let's speak with Andreas Idel, founder and CEO of Cropster. Cropster came about in the mid-2000s when Andreas and his two business partners were working in agricultural research in Colombia. They spotted a gap in the market to provide software and tools to help producers and roasters create consistently high-quality coffee. And they now also offer tools for the cafe end of the supply chain. Welcome, Andreas.
Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here today.
Excellent. So tell us about Cropster today. It's quite a formidable software platform, or how would you describe the business?
So we make a software platform that has specialized solutions for coffee farmers, for coffee roasters and coffee shops. And each of them, we help them to make a specialty coffee and make it consistently. And we make software that helps them with handling their business. So that can be that they plan their production, that they plan supply, that they can do quality control in a structured manner. And all of that, it gives you business intelligence tools. So you will make decisions based on data. It will automate a few of your processes so you can focus again on your business, and that will help you to grow the business in the end.
Right. Now that all sounds very theoretical. So maybe you could just give us an exact example of how your system, your software system, your platform, your products can actually help, say, a roaster.
So from our history, a really big change that we did in roasting was the introduction of the rate of rise curve. So when you roast coffee, you apply heat to green coffee beans and you make them brown and you run them through a list of chemical processes, basically. And what you can do, you can monitor the temperature. Now, the temperature is, roughly speaking, rising across the process. But roasters had a problem, especially when they bought high-value coffees that were expensive. Every other batch had some degree of defect in the result, in the cup. And we introduced, besides the traditional temperature, rate of rise temperature. And that basically means we show you the rise of temperature in a specific time frame. You can think about that as your velocity in the roast. Uh-huh. And you can have higher velocity or you can have lower velocity, basically. And that means you're rising in temperature higher or not so high. But we've drawn that as a curve, and that basically gave you a tool to identify specific defects. And that became a game changer in how you assess a roast, because suddenly you could associate what you taste in the cup and something you might think that tastes flat, for example. You can associate that with a specific form of the rate of rise. Mm-hmm. And with that tool of introduction, people could suddenly, they could roast shorter because they were more exact, and they could identify defects, and they have redesigned, the industry has redesigned how you actually roast coffee. How does a roast recipe actually look like by that tool? And by that, people who used our software and companies became more consistent, and they increased the quality by less defects, but also by more exact roasting per se. Mm-hmm.
So on that topic of science, mm-hmm. of coffee, how do you see this sort of world of data, perhaps even AI? How do you see coffee roasting in the future, you know, perhaps being enabled by AI or other technologies? And what unfinished projects have you got that you would love to do to just have an absolute perfect system?
So we do use AI for 3 years now. And what we can do today is we can predict a roast 2 minutes, so 120 seconds into the future. While a roast being, let's say, about 12 minutes, that's quite a big chunk. Can we know how the temperature will develop over the next 120 seconds most likely? And we can show that real time to the user. So they know if they run into a potential defect, for example, or something they don't want, or know that they are on track for something they want. AI works pretty well for that. And we have an accuracy, we retrain that model. The accuracy is so high that we cannot improve it further without building better sensor system. But there is more on that. I think we could get better in assisting systems, basically that we run parts or automate parts of the roasting process by such an exact algorithm. I think that's feasible to do. I think it would make sense. It would increase consistency if it were really an exact replication of a coffee roast, which today automation does not deliver, basically. And then I think it's a lot about coffee tasting, but I think it's more a sensor problem. I think a good thing happened that so many thousand people became a good coffee taster and a cupper. But again, it's partially subjective, right? It's sometimes hard in terms of consensus and really using that as a metric to see how well you actually did. So actually measuring your consistency, I think some sensors here, maybe powered by AI, could help as well as a quality control tool in the long run. But I don't know any system currently that does that.
Right. So no automatic sensors are actually available in the marketplace to actually mimic the idea of what a coffee would taste on the tongue sort of thing yet.
Yeah.
But possible.
I think so. But in coffee, it's challenging. I know it's not on the market because it's very hard.
Yeah.
And I talked to a lot of companies that make tech for stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And it's just incredibly hard in coffee because it carries so many compounds that have flavor.
Yeah.
And more so than other products. And other products are actually more simple. They are simple to test. And coffee is so complex. But that's the fun thing, right? That's why it tastes so... It has such a variety in taste. That's because of that. But that's on the flip side. Makes it so hard to make consistent and to actually test it.
Yeah, yeah. But does it exist, you know, equipment that can actually maybe sort of taste, for a better word, actual simple flavors?
So there are systems that can, it's mostly smelling actually.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
It does exist. I know that in the milk industry, when there was this huge trend of let's reduce fat and add sugars for that, and now we're doing the opposite, obviously. Mm-hmm. That's not easy to do. You cannot extract the fat as a flavor compound and just add sugar and get the same product. And they couldn't taste it too. So what they did is they measured basically what tasters exhaled. So they had a small clip on the nose and they measured the gas out of the mouth. Mm-hmm. So they smelt the effect on your mouth, basically.
Oh, wow.
And by that, they changed recipes. So they got close again to the flavor profile that the customers were expecting. But a fruit yogurt or a yogurt is just very simple compared to wine or coffee.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what would you like to achieve within Cropster in the next few years?
What we want to do, and that's our focus for the next years, really create a big system for coffee roasters so they can run all their operational tasks in the system. So they have less other systems that they need to make work for coffee and make their lives easier. I think that many roasters can use some extra time and some extra productivity, and that should help to grow specialty coffee too. And the second thing is we have a huge focus on the coffee shop sector, that we do the same thing that we did for roasting, but for coffee shops, and then link these two up to create a vertical link.
Andreas, thank you so much for joining us here today on Fifth Wave.
Thank you for having me.
I was blown away by the idea that one day AI could be used in coffee tasting and quality control. There's clearly a long way to go, but it's exciting to imagine just how far technology can take us. Now let's hear from the coffee roasters by first speaking with Simo Christidi, Production and Logistics Manager at the legendary Solberg & Hansen in Norway. Simo has been with the business for over 20 years, and in this conversation, he walks us through all the essential equipment and technology needed when setting up a roastery. Welcome, Simo.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
What, in your view, are the essential equipment that you need to have a good functioning roastery?
When I started back in 2004, the only equipment at that time, we had only the roasters, of course, and also because of our size at that time, we had some silo systems, you know, for managing the green coffee. And basically, that's what was the equipment at that time.
Wow.
But, you know, due to the demands and then new trends, more B2C packaging, customers were requiring higher quality and they wanted to buy at home. So we have had quite fast growth. And with that, you know, it also the equipment is, of course, increasing. So if I would say which are the main requirements for equipment, I would categorize in three categories. I would say what is the necessary, you know, yeah, equipment to kind of do your production and do your packaging. Mm-hmm. And if you want to go a step further, you know, I would say also quality equipment, it must be a part of it, and also the lab equipment. I do remember the old days, we didn't have any packaging machines. So type of packaging, you know, it's really important. And another system that should be assessed if it's needed or not, again, based on what kind of customers do you have, you know, is the flushing of the coffee in order to increase the shelf life. And also, if you go a step further and you are a big company and you're thinking about efficiency and production managing, I would say also transportation systems for both green but also for roasted coffee, then it should be part of the system.
So, walk us through that. So the flashing of the coffee, is that putting nitrogen into the packaging? Is that what you were saying?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, we do with nitrogen flashing because, I mean, we roast and we sell fresh coffee.
Yeah.
So everything has a packaging date. We don't mark any best before in our bags, but every single bag we sell to our customers, it has a production date. Mm. But at the same time, we're doing some quality assurance, making sure that the oxygen residue in the bag is as low as possible. Mm-hmm. In many cases, in our production, our oxygen residue is, you know, from 0.6 to, let's say, maximum 3%, which means that a customer that is buying 20 kilos of coffee and is going to keep it on his shelf for 1 month, he wouldn't have any problem with the freshness of the coffee, mm-hmm, because oxidation is not present, you know. So this is the main equipment, I would say, for a roaster. But if you want to see roasting as a science and you really want to work, you know, with the taste and the sensory of the coffee, I would say a very, very, very useful and very important equipment for any roaster is a color reading device. Because at the end of the day, I mean, you buy a green coffee with certain properties, taste properties, and you want to find a way, a roasting profile that will really showcase and highlight the potential of this coffee. So you can roast it in many different ways, high temperature, low temperature, small roast, the long roast, whatever. What you are aiming at is a certain development of the coffee. How brown it will be, or how light, or how dark. Mm-hmm. We are logging it. All information is available. And at any time, we can check and go back and see, you know, how did this coffee taste it at this specific color development, at that specific roasting time, with these specific techniques at different stages of the roast. Mm. I would say a color reading device is really, really important, but also a logging system. The last one I would say about the main equipment is also the lab equipment. A part of this could be the density reader, like humidity or water activity devices. We do a lot of brewing to assess, you know, the quality of the roast.
And so once you've got the coffee roasted, and it seems to be perfectly roasted, I think you mentioned quality control systems. What else do you have to kind of,
Our quality control is based on different stages. You know, before you buy the coffee, of course, it goes through quality control.
Yep.
Once the coffee is bought and we are trying to launch it, it goes through some sample roasting on our smallest production roaster, which is actually 35 kilos Loring Smart Roast.
Mm.
And we try to find out the right profile for this specific coffee. And also to kind of create a baseline for the production coffee in the big roasters. We create some, we call it the Roast Rangers, which is, you know, part of one of our logging systems. And in that system, everything is monitored. So at the end of the day, again, every single roast has its own production number generated by the system. A sample was taken, a label was created. So at any given time, we can go back and we can track, you know, how the profile was compared to the baseline that we used, you know, when we initially created the profile. So this is like, this is a quality control loop. This is the way we do it every day.
Yeah. Fascinating. So have you had any piece of equipment or any other product that you'd like to add to your roastery in terms of dream piece of new kit? Is there anything that you would go, oh, wish I had one of those, or have you got it all?
I think I have it all, but I think we are modernizing. Nowadays, we are installing a silo system, which actually is the way we can handle the green coffee. It's like we had the system right now, which is quite old actually, and it's all, everything is manual. Like weighing the coffee and delivering from the silo to the roaster is kind of manual. So this is going to be more like modern, but of course we are a bigger size roastery. So we are always looking for solutions to kind of have a better efficiency of the production. But at the same time, you know, we are doing this investment also because it's going to help a lot our operators, the roasters, to focus on how to use their time on roasting and creating good profiles and follow the good baselines that we have, on the roasters, instead of using time dealing with the green coffee, you know. But I see in our case, you know, it's really important when you scale up and you go up to a certain level. Normally, you know, the bottleneck of the production is the packaging,
mm-hmm.
especially if we have like 60 or 80 different, you know, products in our pipeline, which are being roasted in different ways, they're packed in different ways, different packagings. So I would say, you know, when you scale up your production, someone should, you know, check out the packaging solutions. Beside, of course, the main equipment and the lab equipment.
Simo, thanks for joining us here today on Fifth Wave.
It's a pleasure.
It was interesting to hear how lab equipment, and in particular, color reading devices, are essential to roasting operations at Solberg and Hansen. For any roaster looking to scale up, it would definitely be worth investing in these technologies to maintain high quality control. Let's complete this episode by speaking with Brian Rice, roaster at Counterculture Coffee, about his approach to building and designing a roastery. Founded in 1995, Counterculture is an iconic specialty coffee roasting business based in North Carolina, USA. Counterculture was also a very early global pioneer of transparent and sustainable coffee sourcing practices. Welcome, Brian.
Thank you, Jeff. Glad to be here.
I wonder if you give us some background on Counterculture.
Counterculture, we are headed toward our 30th year in business next year and currently experiencing another wave of growth, presently moving in upwards of 350,000 pounds or 158,000 kilograms monthly across our two roasteries in Durham, North Carolina and Emeryville, California. And on our East Coast roastery, we are in the process of bringing on a 240 kilo Probat roaster to pair with 290 kilo Probats, a 70 kilo Loring and a 10 kilo Samiak.
Wow. That's some growth for a business that's been around 30 years. So if anyone that's listening today doesn't believe there's any opportunity in the coffee market for established players. I think you're proving everyone wrong here.
We've been fortunate to do that for almost three decades now. Mm. I think a lot of that has to do with our approach in general. I know early on, Brett Smith and Fred Hook, our co-founders, attended a Sustainable Coffee Congress. And I think that really informed sort of a triple bottom line approach, a relentless pursuit of coffee perfection, dedication to environmental, social, and fiscal sustainability, and a commitment to creating cutting edge coffee people. And I think it's really an effort to do that from the beginning of the process all the way to the end.
Yeah. And you said that you're adding more to the systems. Wonder if you give us some background on that one.
Well, we moved into a large facility in 2016 that at the time, I think likely felt like, how will we ever grow into this space? And I guess when you spend 8 years continuing to grow, you find out real quick. And it's resulted in a situation where we've been real clever and nimble to use our existing space and sort of reorganize. So we're fortunate to have a really long run of what is almost one continuous giant warehouse building. And you can really kind of think of it as raw material coming into one end where there is green coffee storage. You come up on the roasters, the buckets, totes, and such that will store that roasted product, sorting, blending, where you move through to some loaders. And then you start to kind of bleed into our fulfillment and production area where we have labelers and bagging systems. And you move right out the door with those systems directly into the shipping trucks, be it our postal service or some other shipping partners as well. We've added, because of that kind of growth and the large volumes we're dealing with now, we've moved to our green coffee storage. We have eight different silos sort of in one large giant machine that holds primarily our most popular year-round coffees. And we can, build recipes within that system and dose those out in a large blending tray that feeds into a system called Cablevay, which is very much what it sounds like. It's a system of tubes with a chain and pucks that move coffee from that silage system up the wall and across the ceiling of the room to load the green coffee into the roasters from above. And that has been really a godsend to keep us moving in an efficient fashion in that space.
And what about storage of green coffee? Is there any magic kind of solution that is best for the ideal coffee roastery?
Oh, if there is, please tell me about it. We have certainly done several different approaches. And before we reorganized our production warehouse, one end of it was completely green coffee storage. And our roasters and production fulfillment shared a space. And we have since moved the building more to a model like I was talking about, where you're kind of in one end and it goes through the process as it leaves out the other end ultimately. And so we typically had 10 bag pallets, and we've moved now to a system where we're using, some folks call these super pallets. It's typically 20, 25 bags per pallet. We required a larger forklift to even manage these, but it gave us, a little more footprint for the pallet, but we could go a little higher with these things. You can go, three or four high pretty safely and easily. but it's, sort of a combination of moving to a bigger form factor for the green that's coming in and good lean manufacturing practices. So sort of a cousin of just-in-time manufacturing, and just like really, having just a little more on hand than what we need.
This continuous process, I guess, whether you're big or small, I think that design layout is really important to get the right flow.
As we grow and look at this space and have to reimagine how things need to be sorted out and where things need to live to most efficiently move through the space, it's really efficiency, economy, and equity. Like, how can we most efficiently process this through the space in the most economical manner, where it's most equitable for everybody's who's touching this process? And, you know, that's the biggest thing there is I think we are really fortunate to have that space because we can minimize the amount of steps that are happening in the process itself, and then minimizing the literal amount of steps that folks are having to take as they move throughout the facility and really make things direct and intentional. We are trying to build a culture of transparency, knowledge sharing, and camaraderie, and encouraging ownership at every level from everyone. And, you know, what might seem equitable to someone in our customer service department may not be equitable for someone in our production team, and vice versa. The open book management program we're using is called GGOB, Great Game of Business, and it really does look to input from everyone. Each department has its own scorecard and its own internal goals, weekly, monthly, quarterly, in and around the company, to foster that equity. So, you know, when you're growing, especially with this kind of volume, you're going to hit a series of roadblocks if you're not careful. So, you know, as we're bringing these new roasting machines online, we're bringing new storage online, we're able to move more product in quickly and roast it and have it ready to go. And we need to consider what that means for our production fulfillment team. Mm. And, you know, if we just push all that down to the end of the room and they're not ready to go with the right systems to get that bagged up and boxed up and shipped out, you know, the balance of equity is going to tilt in a way that we don't want to see happen. And so I think when everyone is involved and at least has a little bit of a idea of what all departments are doing to reach that shared goal, I think it's easier for folks to make that investment.
Mm. So this open book management initiative, this is all about communication, teamwork, and in the end, positive result for all.
Absolutely. And it pairs well with lean manufacturing practices to hopefully have everyone's input to help us get to that shared goal in the safest, most efficient manner.
Brian, thanks so much for joining us here today on Fifth Wave.
It was my pleasure. Thank you.
I was inspired to hear how Counterculture's open book management program is integrated into every part of its business. Fostering a culture of equity, teamwork, and communications plays a crucial role in the success of a coffee roasting business. I hope you've learned as much from these conversations about equipping a roastery as I have. In this mini-series, we'll also be exploring the world of green coffee. And that's all for this week's Fifth Wave podcast. If you've enjoyed the show, please subscribe and share the link with a friend or colleague. Also, if you're on Apple or Spotify, we'd really love a 5-star review to help us increase our reach across the industry. To stay informed, visit worldcoffeeportal.com to get access to all the latest global coffee news, including the weekly coffee dose, collecting all the big coffee news stories. Links are in the show notes. This episode was produced in the one and only Serendipity Studios in glorious Camden, North London. It was produced by myself, Jeffrey Young, Hannah Heath, and sound engineering by Chris Bristow. And this week's song, in collaboration with the Coffee Music Project, is Merry Go Around by London-based band The Velvet Fuzz. Until next time, stay safe, stay passionate, and stay caffeinated.
out of town, but it was hazy. We could go out sometime, but you're too lazy. I look into your eyes, but you don't faze me. I don't know what's left to say.